This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. There are plus or minus 300 million smokers in China. That is just about the same number of people who live in this country, the entire United States of America. Smoking also kills about a million Chinese a year. So now comes word from Beijing that China is considering, we should stress, banning smoking in public places and getting rid of tobacco advertising. On the face of it, it's an effort by the government to control healthcare costs. But there is actually a whole lot more going on here. So we've called Matthew Korman. He's a professor of anthropology at Stanford who studies smoking in China. Matthew, good to have you with us.
Hi there, Kai.
Let me ask you the anthropological question and not the business question, right? For those who might not have been to China, help us understand how pervasive smoking is over there. Where are some of the places we'd be surprised to see people smoking?
Oh, you would be finding people smoking in lots of different contexts that you might not expect. Hospitals are still places where you see a lot of cigarette smoking, hallways, stairwells, restrooms. That's been cut back a little bit, but it's still pretty prominent. In taxi cabs, it's very common. In schools, you'll see cigarette smoking on campuses, not by the kids, but you'll still see it among instructors and people walking through campus.
What about airplanes?
So airplanes are really intriguing. For years now, I've been flying on Chinese airplanes. And shortly after the flight takes off, I've almost on every flight smelled cigarette smoke. And for years, I always figured, well, someone in the back who's got a fierce nicotine habit has been having a couple of quick tugs on a cigarette. But what I've come to understand is actually people are pretty responsive to the signage and the messaging they get from the flight attendants, all except for those who are flying the plane. So what you have is the plane takes off. Shortly after it reaches cruising speed, the pilots and all the co-pilots, one or more of them light up. And because of the way things circulate on a plane, you smell it in the back very quickly.
And of course, there are no smoke detectors probably in the cockpit, right?
Not that I know of.
Yeah.
But I've never been invited up.
Well, that's right. What do you suppose the effect of this proposed limitation, we should say? I mean, it's not written in stone yet. But what's going to happen over there if this actually eventually becomes policy and law? Is it going to change the way people smoke?
I think it will, and it's going to be part of an incremental shift that's been going on for some years now.
Right.
Two or three years ago, there was some new regulations that came down that said smoking was to be banned in all restaurants, and it had almost no effect. Even in Beijing, I would go to restaurants with people who were working for the WHO, and people would be smoking all around us.
I said I wouldn't ask you the finance, business, and economy question, but I will. The biggest tobacco company in the world is the Chinese National Tobacco Company, right?
So that's right. And if I can jump in, I would say,
To
my mind, this is a sideshow, and it's a sideshow that's part and parcel of the way tobacco control is taken up, not just in China, but in much of the world. And it's the way it's taken up by the World Health Organization. It's about trying to shift consumer behavior. It really ignores production. It ignores supply. And most people would think that cigarette production has gone down worldwide over the last two or three decades, right?
Yeah.
In fact, it hasn't.
Yeah.
Cigarette production has tripled since the 1960s. China has become the world's cigarette superpower. Local governments have become increasingly dependent on cigarette sales to bolster their tax revenues. So all of this question of whether or not these new regulations will be enforced will, in the end, come down to local politics.
Right.
And that's where the rubber is going to meet the road.
Matthew Korman is a professor of anthropology at Stanford University. He concentrates, as you might have gathered, on things happening over in China. Matthew, thanks very much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Sure. My pleasure.